Well, we've been studying a series on We Need a Move. So I've been asking you every single Sunday, how many of you believe we need a move of God? Amen. Amen. There's no doubt about that. We need a move of God in the country. We need the move of God in the community. We need a move of God in the church. But most importantly, we need a move of God in our own heart. Amen? Because it's one thing to ask, do you agree if we need a move of God? It's another thing to ask, are you ready for a move of God? Amen? Are you ready? Because as I've been talking about in the last few weeks, when God really begins to move and His righteousness begins to pour down on a community or on a church or on a family, whatever the case may be, a nation, the world, one thing always happens, and that is that hearts are revealed. The light shines on our hearts. Because when God begins to move and righteousness begins to move, darkness is cast out. Amen? And that's been kind of a sub-theme, is prepare yourself to be used by God. Prepare yourself for God to reveal things to you that you did not even realize needed to be moved. Be ready when God reveals things to you that you don't run and hide, that you say, yes, Lord, I will surrender it for you because it is, I'm in your perfect will because I want your destiny in my life. You see, that right there is one of the hardest things to do. There are leaders, spiritual leaders, that haven't even figured all this out yet, what I'm telling you. There are people who are in leadership positions and ministerial positions who still are trying to figure out how to surrender all to God. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Just because you have a title, we talked about this last week, there's certain callings. You have a title, a pastor, or evangelist, or doesn't mean that you got it all surrendered for His cause. Amen? Amen? It just means that you've been called to that position, that spiritual position. And so what I'm talking about here, when we say we need a move of God, and when I ask the question, are you ready for a move of God? I'm really asking, are you ready for God to do surgery in your heart and for the ugliness that we all have to be revealed and to be put out there? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We need a move of God, but we all need to look down deep in our hearts, and we need to look at these fruits of the Spirit. Do you know that as you grow in the Lord, that the 9 fruits of the Spirit are supposed to increase, increase, increase to where you become the character of God? Right? That's the journey you're on. We're not perfect, but are you willing to be perfected? Are you on this journey? So I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I don't have a lot of scriptures today. I don't know that if that means it's going to be a short sermon or not yet. I don't know. But we'll see how it goes. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the main point today is we need a move of God, so we need to strive to allow the 9 fruits of the Spirit to be evident in our lives. So this is a challenging sermon. I'm asking you to look at your heart right now, right? I'm asking you, don't look at your neighbor when I mention something, yeah, so-and-so needs to hear that. They really need to change in that area. No, forget about everyone else. This is about your heart. This is about your heart. Dig down deep into your heart. We need a move of God, and we need the 9 fruits to be evident. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it does a good job of explaining what the fruits of the flesh are and what the fruits of the Spirit are. And I want to kind of just hit that and highlight that right now as we read God's Word. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh? You walk in the Spirit. Amen. The answer is right there. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, you need to go pray and figure that out. right? There's no formula like do this, do, you know, we tell you read your Bible, pray every day, and that's all part of it. But you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, teach me to walk in the Spirit. And what that means to you, because you know it actually means different things to different people. But that's walk in the Spirit. Ask God to lead you by His Spirit. And you, if you walk in the Spirit, if you're intentional about being Spirit-filled, if you're intentional about being baptized in the Spirit, if you're intentional about these things, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, according to Scripture. So when you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, sinning, in other words, that means you're not seeking after the Spirit of God in your life. So for this is what the flesh brings up. When you are pursuing the fleshful, lustful lifestyle against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't. They're contrary. The fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit don't mix and match. They're contrary to each other. Amen. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Right? Amen. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are this. They manifest this way. So here are some things that if your heart is tempted by these things, then you know that that is the lust of the flesh, as the word says right here. Lusteth against the Spirit. So, 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Right? And it's very, very, you know, Ten Commandments and those kind of things. But it defines here what kind of works, what the flesh looks like, what sinful nature looks like. First of all, talks about, and you just start listing some things. Adultery, right? One of the Ten Commandments. That's from the flesh, right? That's not from the Spirit of God. Fornication, which is basically sexual impurity. You know, sex outside of marriage, those kind of things. That is the lust of the flesh, carnal sin. Uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, meaning disunity. You know, there are certain people, you may know them at work, they're always just causing disunity, right? You know those people? Yeah, they're around. Emulations, wrath, your anger, strife, seditions, heresy. So here in your notes, I wrote them down there. Adultery, fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, sexual sins, sinful mental thoughts, selfishness, drunkenness, sinful lifestyle, witchcraft, disunity, divisions, uncontrolled anger. So you get the idea, right? These are the fruits of the flesh. These are not of God. These, when they come up, you need to get filled with the Spirit to counter these temptations. And now the fruits of the Spirit. Now this is understanding what the fruits of the flesh look like is important, because you know you got to know the battle you're in. You have to know the battle. You have to know what you're up against. These things are sinful. Our sinful nature craves those things. And sometimes we hide. We hide our sinful nature by portraying that we're good, but we don't do it with God in our lives. And that is just phony. It's fake. It's not real righteousness, right? Because our own righteousness is as filthy rags, according to Scripture. So it's important to know the enemy. It's important to know your weaknesses. It's important to know what the carnal lust of the flesh looks like. So what does the fruits of the Spirit look like then? Well, it tells us here. Oh, in verse 21, let's go on and read. There's more fleshful things. Murder, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Have you ever lied? Have you ever been drunk? Don't answer that out loud. Oh, Brother Cassiano, don't answer that. You're the elder doing communion and stuff. Are you sure you wanna? Well, that was your old life, right? Okay, good, 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 good. We're good. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, I tell you before, I also have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. How does that work? if I do things that are sinful fruits, it says here that I won't inherit the kingdom of God. God's word is not contradictory. It all does work together. First of all, none of us can judge each other about who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven. Just because you see somebody in sin doesn't mean they're going to hell. Right? At the same time, those of you that are in sin, don't keep using that as an excuse that you're on your way to heaven anyway because of his grace. Right? It does. We are not judges, but the word of God is clear. You read the word. If you are in the carnal sinful nature and you're desiring that and you're having pleasure in that, and that's what you want and that's your desire, there's a problem. And I wouldn't want to be in that situation, because if we were to die, then I have no idea where you're going. I'm right? I don't. I'm not the judge. The point here is, don't mess around with this. That's the point we get from this. Do not mess around with, oh, it's okay, everybody sins, so I'm going to just do a little sinning. When you have that heart and that mindset, you are in danger. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but I'm saying you are in danger of returning to your vomit, as the Bible describes it. If you've known the truth and experienced His grace and His mercy, and then you go back to that sin and you don't want anything to do with God anymore, and you just want that sin in your life more than anything else, then what's happening is you return to your vomit, right? So you gotta read the scripture and you gotta apply it to your heart. You gotta say, okay, does this apply to me? So now let's turn to the fruits of the Spirit. So let's go the opposite. Now, what is a Christian life supposed to look like? The fruit of the Spirit is love, right? Love. Love doesn't get angry. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love. Joy. Joy knowing that no matter what you're going through, all is well because God's in control. Amen. Eternal joy. Joy unspeakable. Unconditional joy. Being like this, Joseph being in prison and him being full of joy. Right? Joseph being a slave and being the best slave he could be. He's still joyful. That's the characteristic of a Christian, that you're able to have joy no matter what situation you're in. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. So love, joy, peace, having peace in your journey no matter what's going on around you. Things are not working out. The enemy's attacking. But you know what? Joy and peace. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. That's what it looks like when you have these fruits of the Spirit in your life. Long-suffering. Long-suffering, which is what? In your notes, patience, right? Having patience. Gentleness, which is kindness. Goodness was just generosity, giving. When you have these fruits operating in your life, you're generous, you're kind, you're not doing things for yourself. You're faithful. You're very dependable. You know, when you say, I'm going to be in church at 11, you're always dependable, right? You're there at 11, right? That was for some of you, right? That don't get here at 11. But you're faithful in the little things. You're faithful in honoring your word. That used to be a big thing in the old days, right? When you said your word was bond. You said you were going to do it, you were going to do it. Now we're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And then, yeah, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. If I make it, I make it. That's not a Christian fruit. Being dependable, goodness, faithful. Meekness, in other words, humility type. Be humble. Temperance, which is self-control. Self-control. Being able to have self-control and on your anger, temptation to sin, being able to have control. So that's what your life should look like. Let's go through it real quick. Your life should be just pouring out of you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, dependability, a humbleness, and self-control. Does that describe you? In some cases, yes. In some cases, not so much. If we all went to each other's home and we saw how we acted sometimes, we would all be shocked. Right? So we need a move of God. And part of preparation is for us to be intentional about increasing these things in our lives. If you have a tendency to get angry, don't just say, that's just the way I am. Start working on it. Pray about it. Tell the Lord to give you patience and self-control. Tell the Lord, pray to Him that these fruits operate in your life. Every one of us in here have work to do on these 9 fruits. Amen. But this is what a Christian looks like. And I want to just take a step back now. We're talking about a move of God. Can you imagine when God begins to move and people begin to come back to church and people begin to return to the Lord or do this? Can you imagine if waiting for them are churches all around the valley or all around the state or country? Can you imagine if there are churches that when people come back to the Lord, and I believe that's going to happen, there are people who love God, but they just went away, stopped going to church because of phoniness, because of being hurt in church, and a lot of reasons. But one day, God's going to move, and they're going to know, I need to go back to church. Can you imagine if they come back to a church that the 9 fruits of the Spirit are just flowing out of us? Can you imagine the revival that will break out? You see, God's ready to move. Are you? Are you ready to have surgery done in your heart? All the stuff you're dealing with, dealing with sin and struggling and battling with carnal stuff. Church, there's an answer in the Scripture. If you are seeking the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The answer is right there. Get on your knees. Say, Lord, I seek You. Fill me with Your Spirit and Your righteousness. And little by little, your sins will grow dim in your life. They will. So can you imagine when God begins to move and people start coming back to church and new people get saved, that they come to a church with genuine fruits of the Spirit, real love, not this phoniness. They say one thing and then at home they live another way. They're always angry, cursing, getting drunk at home, but then coming to church and pretending everything's all right. There's a big, you know, in evangelical community when it comes to drinking, you know, pretty much the evangelical community says drinking is a sin, right? Amen. Brother Cassiano has some history with that. But there's a lot of Christians who say, I can drink and as long as it's not out of control, right? Well, there's a trap in that mindset. But what we do know is what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, don't be taking time in getting drunk. See, in the old days, they used to have to take wine as medicine. Today, you don't have to take wine as medicine because you have doctors giving you all this other medicine. There's a lot of history and discussion about all this, but I don't want to get too deep into that. But the point is that we need to be obedient to God's word. When it says, do not be involved in drunkenness, that means get away from it, right? Be consistent. So these fruits of the Spirit need to be evident in our lives. So when God begins to move, we want people to see the real deal. Pastor's thoughts in your notes. Allowing the fruits of the Spirit to take over your life takes a humble, surrendered heart willing to be vulnerable and convicted by the Holy Spirit to continue to change. Do not be satisfied with a carnal, sinful life. Do not be satisfied. If you have a problem with one of these areas, Do not be satisfied with, well, you know, it is what it is. I am who I am. You know, don't be satisfied with ordinary. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we are more than overcomers, more than conquerors to overcome these things. There's no law on earth that outlines these nine fruits. There are no laws on earth that can outlaw these nine fruits. You know, no nation can pass the law that says you cannot love. No nation can pass a law that says you cannot have peace. No nation can pass a law that says you can't be patient. No nation, you know, this is a beautiful thing. No, nothing can stop any of these nine fruits. Amen. Not even a nation, not even a government, not even a king or a ruler or a dictator. Nothing can stop these nine fruits from becoming evident in your life. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, that is so true. When we operate in these nine fruits of the Spirit around us, people around us will notice and they'll be attracted to God through our lives. When you begin to operate with these nine fruits of the Spirit in your life, boy, there's a calmness, there's a patience, a confidence in that person, and people follow that. People follow that. And you'll be able to witness. It blessed my heart. Yesterday I was at Conn's. I was eating lunch there. I was there. Anybody go to Conn's? Conn's? Got a few. Just one or two. Mongolia spices, you know, that kind of stuff. It's pretty good. And plus, you get to put as much as you can on the bowl. Like, pack it up. They never told me when I put it like this, they don't tell me, that's too much. I just keep packing it in there. I literally can get two meals out of that one meal, right? Take the rest home. I think that's okay. I don't think that's a sin. I'm going to... They see what I have on the plate. They don't stop me. I think we're good. Self-control, is that right, brother? All right. Well, that's why I do half and then take the rest home. I got you. I got you covered. Good one. But it blessed my heart so much. I was sitting there eating lunch, and this maybe 22, 23-year-old, oh, just on fire for God, preaching to these two kids. I was sick, and I was drinking, and my liver was already going bad, and I turned to God, and he healed me, and he just started praising God, and I was just there listening. Oh, this sounds so awesome. I'm just going to sit here and listen, stay quiet, and just listen to this conversation. And it was just amazing. You know, God's on the move. He's doing things. He's doing things, changing people's lives. So the church, last point on pastor's thoughts. So that really blessed my heart, and I want to share it with you because God is touching people's lives. And some of you are praying for your children or praying for them to be changed. And don't give up. Don't give up. Believe. All things are possible. The church needs to determine to shine the nine fruits of the Spirit so the world can experience God's character. You know, that is God. Love, joy, peace, patience. That's God. You know he's been patient with you, right? If he wasn't patient with you, the lightning bolt would already have struck you dead. Right? But he's patient. So let's close with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 21. I like to read this, Ephesians chapter 5, because it basically defines the way a believer should live or should be, how should their personality, their characteristics of a Christian. And it says this, let's read verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, which is one of the fruits, as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself to us, for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, which are the carnal stuff, remember the carnal sins, the carnal fruits, Fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. A Christian should not be living that kind of lifestyle. Verse 8, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. But walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. We know the nine fruits. We read them. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The nine fruits of the Spirit are acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, if you are wise, you are listening to these words, and you're like, how do I apply my life to these nine fruits? How do I sharpen this in my life? How do I make this my characteristics of who I am? If you're wise, you're hearing this, the seed is falling, and you're already strategizing. I need to pray more. I need to get on my knees more. I got this problem with this sinful nature, and I need to start dealing with this more. You're not just like, I hope I can get out of here fast enough before I get too convicted. You're thinking, if you're wise, you're thinking, how can I get the Spirit to fill me in a way that righteousness takes over? If you're wise, that's how you're thinking. If you're unwise, you can't wait to get out of these doors because the conviction is really, really heavy. God's going to move. God's going to move. I feel a bit like Noah, like, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better start building that boat. God's going to move. You better start getting your little boat prepared, your ark prepared with the nine fruits of the Spirit, your life prepared with the spiritual gifts and sharpening them. And if you're called to do just get ready, get ready, get ready. Because when God begins to move, I don't want you to get run over like a train hitting you. Be ready. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. They must have had a problem back there because Paul keeps bringing this up to the Ephesians. Don't get drunk with wine. There must have been a lot of Christians getting drunk with wine. Don't get drunk with wine. Instead of having that passion to have that little feeling of drunkenness, instead of seeking that to fulfill you, seek the Spirit. Be drunk in the Spirit of God and His righteousness. That's what he's saying. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and singing together like we did this morning, melody in your heart, giving thanks always like we did in praise and worship, for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Amen. That's what a Christian life looks like. So that, if anything, today you're going to leave this place knowing, okay, these nine fruits of the Spirit, and here they are in your notes, right? Memorize them. You know, if you don't want to memorize long-suffering and temperance, use the little words I have in parentheses. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness or dependableness, humility, self-control. Focus on that in your life. Because this is all in preparation of what God's going to use you for. You're going to be used. You're going to be used one way or the other. Last week we talked about the difference between the spiritual callings, pastors, apostles, preachers, the spiritual gifts, that everyone in here has at least one gift. And we also talk about skills and talents that you may have. Get ready to use them for the Lord. Get ready to operate the nine fruits of the Spirit in your life. Get ready to be used by God. Because I want to close with this thought. When Jesus looked out at the multitudes, he wept. Because he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. These things I've been talking to you about your gifts, about the fruits, about having a heart of repentance, about desiring righteousness, those are the people who understand that, who can live that. Those are your laborers. And those are the ones that Jesus said, we need more. We need more of those. Laborers for his kingdom. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, here we are. Use us. We know that you're going to move. We know that this community, this nation, needs a move of God. A move of God that is evident, like the old-time revivals. A move that leaves no question that you are changing hearts. And that you're not just changing hearts, you're changing the culture of a community or a country. You are going to move. And you've called us to be ready for your move, to be the soldiers, to be the laborers that are operating in your gifts, to be the laborers that are operating in the nine fruits of the Spirit. Lord, help us to take this with us. Help us to go tonight and pray and just ask you to overwhelm us with your presence and your righteousness. We are ready. We're excited to be used by you in extraordinary ways. And in your perfect timing, you will use us, and to you be the honor, the praise, and the glory. Lord, anoint us. Anoint us. Anoint our feet to go out, to talk to our neighbor, to talk to our coworker, to talk. Like I heard this young man at the restaurant singing praises and just praising who you are and your awesomeness. Lord, let that be, start infiltrating into the community. Lord, we desire you, Lord. We do need a move of God. The church needs a move of God. Our families need a move of God. So Lord, seal this in our heart. We are Christians. We are not owned or controlled by our sinful nature. We choose to allow your Spirit to fill us and be controlled by your Spirit and your righteousness. Seal this in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.